You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Live from MMA Fighting Studios, this is Between the Links. And now, your host, Mike Heck.
The iconic voice of Esther Lynn welcomes you to a brand new edition of Between the Links. The iconic voice is back. We didn't have her last week, just in podcast form. It's always good to hear her voice. Thank you for checking out the program live or after the fact here on YouTube or on the podcast network on this Thursday. Some fun topics to discuss. Some fun panelists to discuss those topics with. So let's introduce them first. He's BTL's Woody Page. He's Mr. No Gray Area, the co-host of No Bets Barred. And he's also the man behind the new podcast on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. Damn, They Were Good. It just launched, discussing the incredible career of one Carlos Condit. Let's say hello once again to Mr. Jed Meshew. Jed, how are you, sir?
Mike, I told you when I was going to be full-time, I'm coming for your job. Nobody else's. I'm going to be king of these airwaves. I got two pods down. Maybe I'll have more. Maybe I'll get five, six. Maybe I'll take this one from you. I'm coming for you, Mike. Terrence McKinney's just in the way right now.
Well, I think Terrence McKinney might have the first shutout in the history of the program now. Jed kind of dropped the name here, because originally, if you listened to Heck of a Morning this morning, it was revealed that Jed was going to face Billy Quarantillo today. Unfortunately, that is no longer the case. He had to cancel, luckily, and shout out to the PR king himself, Ed Kapp. He made some moves, made some calls. We got ourselves a tremendous short notice replacement. He's a UFC fighter, one of the bright prospects in the lightweight division. What a run he has had in the UFC. A 7-second knockout, first round submission earlier this year. And then he is in the running for sure for the round of the year in a short notice fight with Drew Dober. He returns to action August 6th to face Eric Gonzalez. Let us welcome Mr. Short Notice himself, Mr. T-Rex, Terrence McKinney to the program. Terrence, how are you? And are you ready? Are you ready to give your guy Michael Chiesa a run for his money from the analyst side of things?
All right, let's do it.
That's what we like to hear. It's great to have you both here, even you, Jed. But let's begin with this past weekend and start with UFC Vegas 54, because Jan Blachowicz, the former champion, gets back in the win column, Jed Meshew. It wasn't ideal how the fight ended, but like I tell teammates in softball, when they hit a little blooper or they full swing bunts down the third baseline, it's going in the box scores, it's going in the newspaper as a screaming line drive over the second baseman's head, not a little number that went 16 feet. So in the history books, Jed Meshew, it's a third round TKO win for Jan Blachowicz. It was a solid start to the fight for the man you like to call Yanni Blocko. Second round got a little dicey, but in the end, Jan got his hand raised. So what did you think of Jan's performance, his first since losing the belts to Glover Teixeira?
Look, Mike, you're right. You know, in the history books, there are no pictures. You know, they don't ask how, they ask how many. And for all intents and purposes, Yanni Blocko got the dub. He apparently set himself up for potentially a light heavyweight title shot, which I, you know, that's a possibility. I thought coming into that fight, if he wins, and I'm going to say something you're going to hate, Mike. If Jiří wins, you know, I could see them doing Jan Jiří, but I did not think that if Glover beats Jiří, which you have been espousing so aggressively, that they would run that back. But apparently both dudes are interested in it. So maybe that kind of, I'm going to call it a lackluster win because it's, you know, he won the fight. It counts. It's a dub on the record. He got the two paychecks, did everything he needed to do. At the same time, he wasn't really the author of his fate in that thing. You know, just sometimes these things happen. And so at the end of the day, he did the important thing. You know, he got the win. He's moving on. He might fight for a title. It was a great Saturday night for Yanni Blanco. I also thought he looked good. You know, I thought that first round was a competitive round, but that he won. I think it was very clear to me watching that fight that the style matchup was just so different with Glover because he was throwing a lot of kicks. He barely threw kicks at Glover. Obviously, he was concerned about the takedown. And as we kind of saw, there's reason for him to have that concern. But I thought he looked good. You know, I had a bet on Alexander Rakic. I still felt pretty confident with my bet going into that third round. But, you know, this is the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. So still a solid night for Jan Blachowicz. And I'm not opposed to seeing him fight for a title again if that's what happens.
Terrence, your thoughts on Blachowicz's performance on Saturday? He closed the show, wasn't ideal, but in the end, he got his hand raised.
Yeah, he was active. It was, like you said, it was a very close fight. He was competitive on both sides. I would have liked to see it play out towards the five rounds, but I don't think it's going to give him a title shot because it was very it was like it could have been a previous injury and he just came to fight, you know? So, like, there's so many questions, like, about, like, how his knee was. So there's no way we can give him a title fight when it like, his basically his body just shut down on him. It wasn't, like, something he could control.
Now, Terrence, you say no way he gets a title fight. Glover Teixeira tweets out Saturday before the event something to the effect of, and Jed alluded to this, hey, Jan, if you win, and I win on June 11th, which, by the way, he's going to against Jiří Prochazka, let's run it back. And Jan does his part. Officially, it's a win. You don't think it's enough to get him a title shot. What else does he need to do? So if Glover wins, it's not him. Are we waiting to see what happens with Ankalaev and Anthony Smith before we make that decision? Or what do you think happens here? What else does Jan need to do?
Well, if Glover wins, well, I don't think he is, but I think he's a great dude. But I think Jiří's just a killer, man. He's like the scariest dude ever. So I got him winning by KO, and then I think they would have to run it back either way. If Glover wins, they'll run it back. And if he loses, I think they still have to run it back. And then winner gets a title shot.
Jed, how would you do it? How would you lay this out? You said maybe he might have earned a title shot, but if you had the mighty pencil, how are we booking this light heavyweight division? Of course, we need to see what happens June 11th. That's the next step. But where does Blachowicz fit into this situation for you?
I think he needs another win. I thought he needed another win coming into that fight because, to me, I think the obvious choice for who gets the next title fight should be the winner of Anthony Smith versus Magomed Ankalaev. I have been on the record. I think Ankalaev is probably the actual best light heavyweight in the world, if it's not Jiří. And, you know, I'd like to see him get his opportunity. Arguably, he should deserve it anyway, having beaten Thiago Santos. But that fight was just so bad that nobody is mad that he didn't get a title fight off of it. I assume Anthony Smith will be a more compelling, more interesting match. And if Anthony Smith wins, I think that's a remarkable fight. You can just kind of run that one right back. And if Ankalaev wins, that, to me, he's the clear-cut number one contender in the division.
Last thing, Jed, and we've seen during these fight night cards that when the main event ends, the guy who wins is typically the guy we're talking about, the MVP of the event. And yeah, we're talking about Jan Blachowicz, but not in the context that he would like to be talked about. He would want to be talked about as, hey, knocked out Alexander Rakic in the first round. Let's give this man a title shot. But he's not the MVP of this card. So who was the MVP of this card for you? Whose performance shone the brightest for you this past Saturday and why?
I mean, I think it's got to be Davy Grant, right? You know, a bunch of other people had really good performances. But frankly, I think Davy Grant and Luis Smolka got robbed of Fight of the Night. No disrespect to Caitlin Chookagian and Amanda Hibas. Amanda Hibas is actually probably the correct answer because she found a way to make Caitlin Chookagian fun to watch, which I would have said was impossible. I would have just said, yeah, that will never be fight of the night ever. It's not possible for that to do. And yet somehow they pulled that off. So that's probably the true answer. But for me, David Grant gave you the most bang for your buck on Saturday for sure. I mean, he got the performance bonus for the KO of Lewis Mocha, tremendous KO. And before that, it was just a hell of a scrap, you know, which you, all credit to you, Mike, you correctly predicted that it would be a double bonus night for him. I mean, you were incorrect, but you should have been correct, and that's what counts.
I agree. Terrence, you're a man who creates violence. You enjoy watching violence, I'm sure. Is Davy Grant your guy, or did somebody else stand out to you?
For me, I was very happy for Michael Johnson, just for him to come back, bounce back like that, and get the KO. I think that was huge. I loved it. Clean KO.
I think a Terrence McKinney-Michael Johnson fight would be a lot of fun to watch someday. What say you?
That would be a banger for sure.
Absolutely. Well, the UFC is back again this Saturday, and that's how we're going to end regulation this week. But there's another event this past weekend and another tough watch for a championship main event for that event, and that's where we're going next. The point for round one goes to... a much more respectful Terrence McKinney. It is 1-0. He's not trying to take my job like Jed Meshew is.
I think it's respectful to let you know, hey, Mike, this is a thing that's happening. Be aware, instead of me just kind of hamstringing you without you knowing.
Well, I mean, you can't take my job when you get shut out on this program. No one's ever been that before, and that's a record you don't want. But by the way, if you're new to the program, these points are just fun transitional periods in the show. You, the listeners, the live studio audience, you will be the decision makers. There will be a poll coming up where you can vote for either Jed Meshew or Terrence McKinney. But let's move on to round two. And Terrence, we're going to begin with you.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special 3-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll start with you because Bellator 281 took place in London. We had a pretty solid event overall, some great moments, but the show closes with a bit of a snoozer. Let's be honest. Logan Storley defeats Michael Venom Page. It was a split decision. The Twitter scorecards were all over the place. Very rarely do you see Twitter just get so steamed and fired up, and then like 15 minutes later, it just fizzles out and nobody mentions it again. But some believed, Terrence, that the result was correct, that Storley deserved to win. Most people feel that Michael Venom Page actually won the fight because he inflicted some damage and tried to do anything, really. So I know robbery is an overused term by fans of the sport, T-Rex, but was MVP robbed on Friday? Was he robbed?
I don't think he was robbed. It was super boring, though. Logan did what he needed to do. But he did what he had to, wrestle him. Obviously, the dude's a seasoned striker, so it was just a no-brainer just to keep taking him down. So congrats to him.
Did you score it for Storley? Did you score it for Page?
I honestly didn't watch it all the way through. I watched it like the first like, 3 rounds or so.
You figured it out after the third round. Okay, this is what we're getting for the next 10 minutes.
I already know what's about to happen in the next 10 minutes.
Jed, what say you? I kind of know where you're going with this, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this stuff anyway. MVP robbed in your eyes on Friday. Did he deserve to win that fight?
I mean, sure. Technically, yes, because he probably should have won, and that would matter a lot to his – because he lost a lot by losing. You know, he's not the champion. He doesn't get whatever bennies that Bellator gives to their champions. He, probably was robbed, and he probably lost. but also it's not. Like, if all things are on a spectrum, right? And this is from the man of no gray area, but everything exists on a spectrum. And so for the spectrum of, you know, who did Chase Beebe get like stupidly robbed against? I'll think of that in a little bit. But if we're going, you know, 1 to 10. This is very low on the spectrum because, as Terrence correctly identified, this fight blew and no one cares because it happened in an organization that's impossible to watch because it doesn't show up on a real programming network. And again, if I didn't say it before, this fight was terrible. And also, while I agree, and I know that Casey is firmly in the corner of MVP won the fight, he didn't do a lot either. Like, I'm not saying Logan Storley did anything, because he did not. And his quote about, why didn't you stop me, is hilariously, like, not understanding of things. Why didn't you stop what I was doing on top? Holding? It's very difficult to stop a man holding you. So it was just not a good fight, but it takes two to have a crappy fight. Like, we said this when Carlos Barza and Rose Namajunas fought. Like, it takes two to do that. It took Logan Storley holding on for dear life, and it took Michael Venom Page, who's been a professional fist fighter in cages for well over a decade and still does not know how to separate a grip and clear. Like, it's just – he just can't do it. It's not part of him. So it's everyone's fault. Nobody succeeded here, and I didn't feel the least bit bad for Michael Venom Page because, like – you could have done more. You could have done things against the guy who was literally doing nothing. So, sure, it's a robbery in that he still probably deserved to win. But it's also not a robbery because no one cares. And, you know, that's okay. Sometimes it can just be a bad fight and we can just move on from it. And everybody in MMA has done well here. We've all said, that was bad. Moving on to the next thing because we don't care, actually. And that's the correct response to this. Bad decision. Oh, well, moving on.
Is the bigger story here, Jed, the decision of the judges or the decision of Bellator and its matchmakers to actually book this fight? Because Paige fighting Yaroslav Amosov, let's be honest, was probably going to look a lot worse than what we saw on Friday. Amosov was out. You could have got a number of ways with this one. You could have done Paige against literally anybody else here in London, and it would have gone over better. He probably would have won. He probably would have got a finish. He would have got a huge ovation. And the taste in everybody's mouths after this event would have been much sweeter had Bellator gone this direction. So is the judging here the real story, or the actual booking of this fight the real story?
There are no real stories because this is awful and no one cares. But insofar as we're going to pretend there are, I would love if – I'm sure this won't happen, but there's a clip in our archive of me saying this exact thing to you when you broke the news to me that this was a thing that was happening. Because I think it was on this program, and you're like, Jed, I'm going to blow your mind. Guess what Bellator's doing? And I had a minor mental breakdown because it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And lo and behold, I was dead correct. Now, that is not some bit of tremendous prescience. Anyone with a pulse and a relative knowledge of the sport would have been like, yeah, that's the most likely outcome, is that that fight sucks since Logan Storley holding him for a while. But still, this was incredibly dumb. And the only story to me coming out of Bellator, whatever it was, frankly do not remember the number, is Scott Coker being mad about it, because I think that that is incredibly funny. That Scott Coker, who does not normally throw fighters under the bus. He is not Dana White, where he will just excoriate whoever because he feels like it or whatever. He will normally be like, well, you know, Logan Storley, All-American wrestler, it was a tough fight to call. But, you know, we're going to move on and we get to do the rematch. Storley-Amosov, that was a fight that happened. I promised you people watching this, you didn't watch it because it sucked, but that was a fist fight that did occur. Long loss on Logan Storley's record. And normally Scott Coker would be like, we can build this, right? Like, this is the lone loss on this prospect's record against our current champion. They both have titles, unification. There's a story to tell here. There's a narrative at play. But instead, Scott was like, that fight sucked and the decision was wrong, because mostly he was just mad at the judges that they did not prove him any smarter than we thought. Because if he had been right and MVP had won and styled on him, then Scott Coker just big-brained us all, and that's tremendous. But instead, it was what the world thought would happen, what he put into play, and he's now trying to pass the buck on somebody else that it's bad. No, this is on you, my guy. You did a bad job of promotion, and you get to reap the benefits. So don't throw your new champion under the bus because you made a very, very obviously poor decision and it didn't work out for you.
Terrence, I'm not going to ask you to like crap on Bellator or anything because you're a UFC fighter, but you watched three rounds of this and then you were like, okay, I get it. Yeah, you obviously tuned into it though. Were you like at least fascinated? Were you intrigued by the fight, or I just have nothing to do on a Friday and I'm gonna watch it?
Yeah, I just like to watch fights when I ain't doing nothing, if I'm bored or something. I was hoping he'd do something flashy, like a flying knee or something. But MVP, when he's on bottom, he just hold their wrist and do nothing too. So like you said, man, it was awful.
Should he come see you and you can help him with that?
Yeah, he should have already been training. Like, you know what your ass is, so go wrestle. Go grappling.
Last thing, I do want to give some shine to a good moment on this card, Terrence. I'll start with you. Paul Daly ended his career with a thunderous knockout after it looked like more bad matchmaking was done in Paul Daly's final fight. We want Paul Daly to go out with a bang. They throw him in there with the grappler, kept taking him down. But luckily, Semtex just said, to hell with this. I'm done with this. I'm just going to knock this dude out. And that's exactly what he did. He puts a bow on a legendary run in ferocious fashion. So any thoughts on Paul Daly in the sport as a fan that you may want to share? Any Paul Daly moments stick out?
Yes, man. This dude was a nasty knockout artist. Like you said, he done it all, fighting UFC, Bellator, and he showed that he can compete with the best in the world and put him out.
Jed, seems like Paul Daly could be a fun journey to go on for this new podcast, would he not? What did you think of his final fight, or potentially his final fight?
Yeah, that's the big key here is I have no confidence that this is his final fight. At some point we will talk about him on Damn They Were Good, but we're gonna let that one marinate for a little bit because I think there's very much a world where he comes back. I do want to address something you said earlier, though, which was that this looked like it was bad matchmaking. Incorrect. This was bad matchmaking. It just didn't bite him in the ass like it did with the main event. It's Paul Daly. We know what we're doing here. Like, Bellator, you don't have to pretend to be a real organization because you're not, and nobody thinks you are, and that's fine. You used to steer into the skid, and you would do dumb Kimbo versus Ken Shamrock fights that were horrible but awesome, and so it ruled, and like that was fine. Just do that. Dig up Jonathan Goulet and have him fight Paul Daly first. Like, I don't care. Give me the thing I want. Satisfy my nostalgia button by giving me a Savage KO. We got one, but it really looked like we weren't going to get one, and that would have just been the capper on what has been a tremendously underwhelming year for Bellator thus far. So, like, yeah, this wasn't good matchmaking. It was bad matchmaking that worked out, and but you're right. This was the best moment of the card. Frankly, part of the reason I was so like, I don't really know why you're doing this with MVP is like, this could have just been an awesome main event for London. Everyone would have been stoked. It would have been fine. Like, if you ended the night on that, I think it would have been a great evening and nobody would have left unsatisfied. And instead we got a couple more fights. And so it was just kind of weird, but you know, at least they did have one high water mark.
Well, we had a buggy choke too. That was pretty cool.
Who did that?
See, who that's the that? Problem. I don't remember.
It was Oliver Ancomp.
That's yeah, right. That's what it was. That's who it was. Yep. That's who it was.
Yep. I mean, yep. Yeah, that's
great cool. Moment. That was very cool. Very cool. So, okay, let's put a bow in Bellator 281. They're back June 24th. Gegard Mousasi versus Johnny Eblen. So hopefully we get ourselves a better title fight than the last two we've had. The point for round two goes to... Jed Meshew. It's 1-1.
Thought I was getting blanked, Mike. What happened?
Yeah, I got to be fair.
I'm ready for the fifth round comeback. I'm not afraid.
It hurt my feelings, but let's head to a man that Terrence McKinney will hope to share the octagon with someday before it's all said and done. Let's talk about Dustin Poirier, Jed Meshew, because Dustin Poirier is a man who asks for very little, right? He shows up, he fights, he does his thing, and he goes home to his family. And now He's not asking for title shots. He's not asking to make $30 billion. He's just asking to fight somebody on July 30th at UFC 277. It could be Nate. Could be Colby. It could be anyone at 155 that makes sense. It could be somebody at 170 that would just be a fun fight. The man just wants to fight Jed Meshew. So in your opinion, we'll talk about potential opponents. Now, you know what? Screw it. We'll do it right now. Will he get what he wants? Will he fight July 30th? And if so, you're putting on your UFC hat now. Who would the UFC offer him in this situation if they were to put him on this card?
What are we, May 19th? I'm going to say that he'll get to fight July 30th, though I think that's quickly becoming questionable. He's not going to get what he wants, though, because what he wants is Nate Diaz. And for the life of me, it appears that the UFC is willing to die on the hill of boning Nate Diaz because they refuse to just let him leave. So, you know, that's great. But which is dumb because Poirier Nate Diaz makes sense as a fight in some regards, certainly. It's not going to be Colby Covington just because Colby Covington allegedly has brain injury from allegedly getting punched by Jorge Masvidal, which is allegedly ridiculous. Sorry, that's just actually ridiculous. Didn't need the allegedly that time. So Colby's not going to be fighting because he's really good at shooting himself in the foot, it would appear. So yeah, there's not like the fight that I hate, but that makes the most sense is Michael Chandler. And I know Michael Chandler has said that he forgot about Dustin Poirier and he was mean to me when he came to the UFC. And so I don't want to fight him because I'm all up in my feelings and let me go lick Dana's boots real fast. He's full of garbage and would absolutely take that fight if offered, because if he beats Dustin Poirier, especially coming off the win over Tony Ferguson, that locks him into a title shot. I think that probably gets him into a title shot next. So, also, if you couldn't tell, I'm back on the Michael Chandler sucks wagon. I should have never left. I was driving that train forever. You talked me out of it. I'm back on, baby. So yeah, that's, did you see the quotes from him this week about the UFC?
You know, I did, but maybe the people watching didn't. So
go ahead. I don't have the quotes in front of me, but, to paraphrase it, Michael Chandler's tongue is actually the bottom of Dana White's shoes. Those two things have a symbiotic relationship. It is an unbelievable quote about how fighters don't deserve more money because Dana had sleepless nights or something insane, despite the fact that UFC fighters get paid a pittance of what they deserve and don't make nearly the amount of the revenue that the UFC generates, which is, we've talked about it a billion times, just a huge shame. So all the way back on board my I don't like Michael Chandler train and choo-choo, let's keep going. But for me, that's still – I hate that fight outside of my feelings just because that's just turning over the same five dudes at the top of the division. Like, division should be staircases, right? You should have people going up and down and there should be movement. It shouldn't just be like, well, we're in this top tier, so the five of us are going to fight and no one can break into it except for with a 10-fight win streak like Islam Makhachev, you know, like – I would like to see Dustin Poirier or Michael Chandler fight somebody down, you know, at the back end of the top 10. Fiziev is fighting Dos Anjos, right? Like, so, but something like that. Give Armin Sarukian a shot at some of the bigger names. Do something like that, even though I know Sarukian's fighting Gamrot. But instead, they're probably just going to do that, which then, like I said, probably reruns the winner of that fight right back in towards a title fight, which is lame. Like, 155 is one of... I say it's the deepest, best division in the sport. I'd like to see more new things happen at the top of it instead of the same seven dudes fight in a circle and nobody else gets to play.
There you go. Terrence, you're a fan. You're going to be watching. Maybe, who knows? Maybe you'll find a way on that card. You can fight back-to-back weeks or something like that. So will we watch Dustin Poirier fight somebody July 30th? And if so, who do you think the UFC will offer him? You think you're muted, Jed? While we wait for Terrence, let me ask you this, because someone brought this up on Heck of a Morning on Tuesday, and it was something I didn't really think about, because Dustin Poirier went on Ariel's show and he said, "Just give me anybody 155. It has to make sense." We have this crazy cluster going on at the top of the division at 155 with Charles Oliveira, with who's going to fight Charles Oliveira. Is it going to be Makhachev? Do they do Makhachev versus Dariush? And someone suggested, if Dustin's looking for a fight and the knock on Makhachev is he doesn't have a top five win, why doesn't Makhachev just raise his hand and fight Dustin Poirier? Because, yeah, it's a little sooner than he would have hoped, but you would think that he would be heavily favored in a fight with Dustin Poirier, and that checks off all the boxes, and it eliminates everybody else from the conversation. So is this something that would make sense in your eyes? Like Islam just says, you know what, Dustin, you want to fight July 30th? Screw it, I'll fight you.
It would make sense. I think my read on that is that Khabib and company believe that they are going to get the title shot. So they are, I mean, he just spoke with ESPN. I just wrote that up for the site like 30 minutes ago. And Khabib makes a compelling case for the fight that I think makes the most sense, frankly, for the lightweight title. And I think they think that they can get it. And so they are not going to risk losing it or risk, you know, all the other things that can happen with taking a fight with Dustin Poirier, because sure, super advantage, like I would say he's wildly advantaged and probably wins that fight pretty handily. But Dustin Poirier is Dustin freaking Poirier, and he can lose. He can get hurt. He can just get injured, like doing anything, you know, in the fight, in the build up to the fight. And that can derail him, you know, potentially another year plus to getting towards the title that I think he should have. So my sense is that they don't believe the UFC is going to stick to having him fight Beneil Dariush in October, just because there isn't a clear-cut guy for Oliveira to fight for the vacant title. And if they were waiting for that fight to deliver one, it's just not great. So I agree. It wouldn't be a bad choice. And I think that is probably their best thing, but I think they are just going to go all in on, hey man, just give us the freaking title fight. We did this with Khabib. It was stupid. Just let me fight for the freaking title.
Terrence, I believe you're back.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me now?
There he is. The melodious tone of Terrence McKinney. So back to the question I asked you before, will Dustin fight July 30th? And if so, if you were the matchmaker here, who would you book him against? Besides yourself, of course.
That'd be dope to see him fight Michael Chandler. I would love that fight. And if Islam wouldn't take that fight, I don't think. Not a short notice. He's not the kind of guy to take a short notice fight. They're very strategic and calculated with their picks. So
I mean, he just fought Bobby Green on less than a week's notice. I mean, he was already training, but still.
Yeah, we're that's 10 what I'm weeks saying. He's already in like camp, so it's a little bit different.
Fair enough. Last thing on this, Jed, I'll go back to you and then I'll go back to Terrence, because Poirier mentioned a name. We've alluded to it. He did mention on the MMA Hour Colby Covington, and you mentioned reasons why this fight probably wouldn't happen. But if none of these things were going on in the courtroom with Masvidal and all that stuff, it would make perfect sense because Colby called for him. Poirier said, nah, we're not doing that. You're not making any money off of my name. And he's just like, nah, I want to fight anybody. I'll even fight Colby. How did you react to that call out, especially with everything going on with Masvidal? I'm sure he's privy to all of this. Were you surprised by this?
I was. To me, that was the interesting part of the call out. Not that he was willing to fight Covington, but to me, that shows kind of just how frustrated he is. And really, like, I don't know what the hell the UFC's doing. It's Dustin Poirier. Put him in against somebody. It's not that hard. Like, that dude's bangers every time. Like, he is hot shit every time out. And he's the number two dude in the world. Like, just give him a freaking fight. I know he wants Nate, and you guys aren't going to do that because you're assholes. That's fine. Just give him somebody. And the fact that you are just, like, not being like, hey, here's a list of dudes, let's make this happen, to the point where he feels compelled to say, I'll even fight this dude that I do. He says he doesn't hate him, but that's because he doesn't understand what the word hate means, that I hate. Like, that's – that. That feels – it's one of those things where, like, if you're in an office and your coworker starts feeling that way, that is an indictment of management and leadership. Like, somebody shouldn't feel compelled to do a thing they don't like when – as a result of not being allowed to do their job, basically. Like, that's insane. Like, he wants to fight. He is a fighter. He's one of the biggest stars in the promotion. He hasn't fought since December. book the dude a fight. Just give him somebody. It doesn't have to be Nate. You don't have to hold on for Dustin Connor 4 or whatever weird asinine plans you have. Just put him in against a human being who fist fights other people, because I will tune in and watch, and so will 500,000 other people.
Terrence, are you surprised Dustin mentioned Colby Covington's name with the history those two guys have?
Yeah, that was very surprising, but I was kind of happy he did, because I honestly want to see that fight, and I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
How so? What do you think? Why do you think it'll be so close?
Because Dustin's nice with the hands, and he got some pretty underrated jiu-jitsu, so I can see him cracking him a few times, and he just knows how to put it together. Like, honestly, I can even see him winning.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Maybe you could have Terrence on No Bets Barred, Jed, and get a fighter's perspective if they ever put that fight together. I mean, listen, we'll see what happens. Hopefully we get Poirier back in there in Dallas at UFC 277. They should just do the Nate fight, but I don't know. What do I know? All I know is that there's more MMA to watch over the next couple of days. The point for round three goes to... the surging Jed Meshew. It's 2-1.
I was cut out. I didn't get to do the whole round.
That's right. I mean, that's the problem. That's the problem. You probably had more sizzle to the steak, but unfortunately... We had some technical difficulties, but again, speaking of technical stuff, look for the poll to eventually come. I don't know if it's there yet. To cast your vote at the end of this thing so we can figure out who wins, whether it's Jed or Terrence McKinney. Now, this weekend, Saturday, the UFC is back. UFC Vegas 55. We got Holly Holm in the main event. First fight in quite some time. She faces Caitlin Vieira. We have Santiago Ponzinibbio versus Michelle Pajeda. And 9 more fights on the docket. So, Terrence, you are a big fan. You'll be watching. Your tweets will probably be on the broadcast more than 10 times. So we'll begin with you. Your excitement levels for Saturday's card. What stands out to you?
I'm just excited for Holly Holmes to be out there. I'm actually a huge fan. I just love her work ethic. And she just knows how to just... be a warrior, you know, and I always see her like progressing. Like last fight, she was wrestling. Like she's always getting better. So I'm excited to see what she shows the fans.
Jed, what do you think of Saturday's offering as a whole? We'll dive in a little bit deeper into storylines for the main event in a moment, but top to bottom, everything going on Saturday. What do you think of the entire slate here?
I mean, this is A+ throwaway weekend. MMA card. Like, this is exactly where you want to do it. We got a tight 11 fights, very simple. Start times at 4, I think. So we're going to be out of here by 10 Eastern at the latest. You've got a main event that matters. You've got a number of kind of ranked or in that neighborhood of ranked fighters. Almost all the matchups are competitive. Most people have Wikipedia pages, though, you know, several don't, but most of them do. This is a solid B to B+ card. Like these are the meat and potato cards that you're supposed to have. Just like last week would have been if it didn't start at midnight or whatever ungodly hour they kicked that card off at.
I go to the pharmacy off of Nevada.
Mike, you are now the muted one.
Yeah.
That's oh, right. No. See, I was testing you guys.
And, I was about to take your show from you.
There's some background noise, and I wanted to make sure nobody heard it. But what I was saying, and you probably read my lips there, every time Holly Holm fights, there seems to be some hope that a win will get her a title shot. She could be on a 5-fight losing streak, but she could find her way into a title fight every time she competes, no matter where she is in her career. Now, with this division being what it is right now, with Juliana Pena and Amanda Nunes about to do it again at some point this year, maybe this summer, could this fight on Saturday, Jed, be a title eliminator? Is there a chance the winner of this fight gets a title shot next, especially if Juliana Pena wins again?
If Juliana Pena wins again, I would say almost for sure the winner is going to get a title. Well, actually, let me take that back. If Pena wins and Holm wins, I think that's about as close to a lock as you'll get in these circumstances. They haven't fought, unless I'm about to pull this up to make sure, because I don't think they fought, right?
They haven't.
Yeah, Holm and Payne, you haven't fought. She's Holm is the number two or three, something like she's one of the top three people in that division, according to the UFC. She's a huge name, like all the litany of reasons that fight will happen. If Pena wins and Vieira wins, I'm going to say Vieira doesn't get a title fight because I think if that happens, it's Chevy truck time. We're going to just move Valentina right on up to get that second belt while she makes her – carves a path up to the third belt. She can be the first ever triple champ. Come at me, Henry Cejudo. You ain't the GOAT of combat sports. It's the Chevy truck. It's the bullet train. Valentina Shevchenko is about to take over the world this year, so that is my pick for if Vieira upsets Holm this weekend.
Interesting point about Shevchenko. What say you, Terrence? Let's just say Juliana Pena beats Nunes a second time. Does the winner of this fight, whether it be Holm or Vieira, do they get the next title shot? Or maybe Shevchenko scoots past both of them if she beats Tyler Santos on June 11th?
I think no matter what, if Juliana Pena wins, I bet she fights Valentina because they fought already, and I'm pretty sure what did she get? She got armbarred, right?
She did.
Yeah, so I know she wants that one back, but if Holly Holmes win, like that matchup, I think will put her in a title shot. And I wouldn't mind seeing a fight they haven't fought yet. So. It just makes a whole lot of sense if either of those people win in the finals. 5-2-0.
Last thing, we also have the return of Eagle FC tomorrow. And for those who are wondering, there is good news, okay? Because the commentary team will be Cyrus Fees, Chael P. Sonnen, and Henry Cejudo will be back behind the microphone, okay. Which means this is going to be a fun time. It's going to be a great time. We might have to go on Twitter Spaces for this just to have some fun like we normally do. But Eagle FC is back tomorrow, Eagle FC 47. Terrence, we have Junior Dos Santos versus Jorgen De Castro in the main event. Hector Lombard versus Thiago Silva is an actual MMA fight in 2022 we are going to see in a little over 24 hours from right now. We will see Maki Patolo, Andrew Sanchez, Sean Soriano, Bellator's Islam Mabadev, and other notable names on this card. So you are a fan. You like to watch fights, Terrence. Will you be experiencing Eagle FC 47 live tomorrow?
I'm definitely going to watch it live. And I think what Khabib's doing for the fighters and giving them a chance to actually make the money they deserve is just huge for the fight community. So I'm excited, and I'm going to support Eagle FC 110%.
There you go. What do you think of Henry Cejudo's commentary, Terrence? Are you a fan of it? Does it enhance the broadcast experience for you?
It's like 50-50 for me.
Jed, your excitement levels for this card. How are you feeling about Eagle FC 47 tomorrow? Are you, if you have the night off, are you going to stay home and watch this event?
My excitement levels? I'll probably end up watching it just because I don't know what else am I going to do on a Friday night. I'm old. I don't do stuff anymore. And there are worse ways to spend your time. But my feelings are exactly like the last time we talked about it. The two main fights don't make any sense. Like, why are we doing these? These are obvious placeholders to the fights that should be happening. So it's just dumb. Like, Junior Dos Santos doesn't need to fight Jorgen De Castro. Just put him in against Rizvan Kuniev, the dude, the Russian heavyweight champion. Put him in, the dude who has like one loss his whole career. Just make that fight. Like, that's the fight you're supposed to make. You don't need to build this up. Hector Lombard should be fighting Tyron Woodley. I don't know why he's fighting Thiago Silva. I frankly didn't know Thiago Silva was still competing. I don't know that I feel good that Thiago Silva is still competing. Also, Hector Lombard was a welterweight. Thiago Silva has been a career light heavyweight. So, I don't know. A lot of things at play here. When instead, he could just be fighting Tyron Woodley because they almost got into a fist fight before. So, like, I don't – it's fine. Like, these aren't awful fights. It is – I'm sure it will be entertaining. I am confident that I won't enjoy Henry Cejudo's commentary. I'm not a huge Chael P guy either. So, tough look on the production side of things. But, you know. It's a Friday night. Worst things can happen to you.
There you go. By the way, for those wondering, Thiago Silva's last fight, 3 years ago yesterday, against Martin Zawada at KSW 49, lost a unanimous decision. So it's been 3 years since he's fought.
You're telling me Khabib can get Thiago Silva out of 3 years, but Scotty freaking Cokes can't pull Jonathan Goulet out of whatever the hell he's doing to just go get murked by Paul Daly? This shit are we doing here, people? This is not hard.
Well, there you go. So that is regulation. The point for round four goes to... I'm in a positive mood, so I'm going to go to the positivity train. And we're going to take a ride with Terrence McKinney. Yes, it is 2-2. All right, so the poll is probably up by now. I'm not paying attention, but it's probably up by now. So get ready to cast your vote. This is time for the knockout round. Each individual here is going to get one question. They don't know what it is, but we're going to play a fun game with this question. They will each have 60 seconds to present their argument. And in the end, we will let the votes compile, and we will go ahead and announce the winner right after that. So, Jed, you are the man. You have the prerogative here. What would you like to do before I explain what this game is?
I'll go first. Screw it. Why not? Let's be adventurous.
All right. Jed's going to go first. We're going to play Terrence a new game called...
Terrence has never done this before. Let's give him an advantage.
There we go. We're going to play a new game called... There you go. I love the teamwork here, the camaraderie. The new game is called Is He Right? Is He Right? The person in question... is Khabib Nurmagomedov. And we have three choices. You could choose one, two, or three to reveal something that Khabib has said in the last few days. And you have 60 seconds to respond as to whether or not he is right or he believes in what he is actually saying and explain why you believe he is right or why he is wrong. So option one, option two, option three, they're all on the table for you, Jed. What would you like to go?
Number three, my lord.
Number three. All right. Option three. Khabib Nurmagomedov said this week that if Junior Dos Santos defeats Jorgen De Castro tomorrow night in the main event of Eagle FC 47, he wants to be a part of putting together a legends fight in the heavyweight division between Junior Dos Santos and Fedor Emelianenko, saying, quote, if Dos Santos wins, I really want to make Dos Santos versus Fedor. He has to focus on Jorgen next because Friday has a tough opponent. He has to stay focused, but I want to talk to my friend Scott Coker because Fedor is under Bellator contract. I don't know what they're going to do next with him, but definitely we can talk. We can create some good stories. So is he right, Jed? Is the fight to make JDS versus Fedor for Fedor's final fight if JDS defeats Jorgen De Castro tomorrow? 1 minute on the clock. Your time starts now.
By and large, he's correct. Layers here. But one, he's incorrect in saying that JDS needs to focus on Jorgen De Castro as a tough opponent. He does not. He does not have a tough opponent. Does not need to focus on him. He's going to win that fight. He is right that that fight is great. I thought when JDS was a free agent, he was going to end up with Bellator because that just made all the sense in the world. But as we've seen the last few months, Scotty Cokes deciding he's going to be bad at promoting and have short, you know, alligator arms with the purse because he didn't get Cale Harrison. He didn't get JDS. He's not getting the fighters to make the fights that would matter for him. But if he cannot pay that man and get co-promotion going, I've long said co-promotion makes sense because really no other organization has a totality of fighters that can build infinite captivating fights like this, do it. This is a great one. I do have some concerns that what we talked about earlier, that I just want to see Fedor do the damn thing, and he might not against JDS, so maybe that's not the best retirement fight. Maybe just get the corpse of somebody out there for him to bolt. But if this is a way to go out, it's a really strong ending.
Okay. There's Jed Meshew's answer. Terrence, you have two choices. You could choose door number one or door number two. And I will explain to you the quote and what he said, and you will give your response at saying if he's right or not. Do you want number one or number two?
Let's go with door number one.
Go with door number one. By the way, door number two was the potential of Tony Ferguson and Khabib as
coaches
of The Ultimate Fighter. Option one, however, Terrence, and this has to do with your division, so this might actually work out for you. Talking to ESPN, Khabib Nurmagomedov said this: people cannot talk about comparing me versus Charles Oliveira. If you want to deserve the name greatest lightweight, he has to beat Islam Makhachev, Beneil Dariush, a couple more guys, and then we can talk. So the question is, Terrence, is he right? Is it unfair or premature to even have a conversation comparing Oliveira's current run with what Khabib Nurmagomedov did as the champion at 155 pounds? 1 minute on the clock. Your time starts now.
I think he's wrong. I think Charles is better, in my opinion. He throws hands. He's been finishing everyone. Like, not just being on the fight win streak, like, he's finishing people. A lot of Khabib's fights were decisions. He didn't really start finishing people till the end, you know? So, I think he did great. Like, he was undefeated, but Charles, to me, is looking like he's about to be the GOAT of our weight class, in my opinion. Because he can strike, he can grapple, and he's just really showing what a champion is. Like, all his fights have been entertaining. I haven't seen one boring fight from him, so. And I can name a couple boring fights I've seen with Khabib, so. And so, he kind of is right, I lied. Because they're not in the same playing field. So
you think Oliveira's better?
Yes, sir. 100%.
So if they fought right now, who would you favor?
Charles.
Damn. All right, Terrence McKinney bringing the heat. Bringing the hot take. No gray area. Jed, you might be replaced. T-Rex might have a new nickname. So you heard the arguments. Jed, what is your response to this? I know you want to say something, so I'm going to let you as we tabulate the votes. This is a perfect time to waste time before we get the votes.
I disagree with just about everything Terrence just said.
if ever happens.
Fortunately, it'll be easy to prove because at some point Chuck Yalov is going to have to fight Islam. Islam's going to run through him. So Islam's 80% of Khabib. So that'll be pretty clear that, yeah, actually Khabib was just the best. I think Khabib is probably the best fighter I've ever seen in terms of level of maybe Valentina Shevchenko, if you're just talking about ability versus Pierce. Like, he is certainly in the conversation.
What a great debate here. Go ahead,
when
Terrence.
The fight happens, we got to do a friendly bet. I stand
let's
firmly
do it.
On my hand that Charles is the dog.
I mean, let's do it. I'm happy to, because I have infinite confidence that Islam Makhachev is just going to dust him up something fierce.
Yeah, I don't think so.
We have to discuss terms. Maybe we could have the listeners discuss terms here.
We've got time because it might take like a year and a half or whatever. no one wants to fight Islam. No one wants to fight that dude. Like, he's – I don't want to fight him either.
You agree with what you're saying, then they need to start getting the new faces in the ranking.
Get the shit moving.
Yeah,
Tony Ferguson is still in the top 10. Tony Ferguson's not won a fight in like 4 years.
All right, a lot to unpack here. We're getting the votes tabulated. Just some programming stuff real quick. Tomorrow 8 a.m Eastern, back with another edition of Heck of a Morning. 3 p.m Eastern tomorrow, the UFC Vegas 55 preview show, so stay tuned for that. We'll break down the fights, take questions, all that. 3:30 Eastern, which is much better than 7 p.m Eastern, we'll have the People's Pre-Fight Show. Answering your questions the entire half an hour before the first fight takes place. Post-fight show right after. I don't know if Jose is going to be there. I'm not really sure. But we'll figure it out and we'll let you know. And then AK and I will break things down from a matchmaking perspective Sunday on to the next one. As you can see, the undefeated Casey Lydon on the bottom right-hand part of your screen. He is back on the program. Casey, did you enjoy your vacation, my friend?
It was a wonderful vacation. I got to visit beautiful Albuquerque, New Mexico. I visited the Jackson Wink gym, you know, got a little sweaty in there. It was fun. It was good times. But I'm back. I'm here for this. This is what I'm here for. This is the real competition right here.
Are you sharpening the tools, Casey? Are you about to fight Terrence? Is that what's happening?
No.
Breaking news?
I mean,
we can do a catch weight. You know?
Casey, walk before you run.
I'm getting really bad reception here. I'm in a tunnel. I can't hear anything. Oh, I lost it. Oh, I'm out. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Well, Casey, you are here to do a job, and your job is to let the people know how the peeps ruled. So who got this thing done? Is it Jed Meshew building the win total, or is it Terrence McKinney coming in on short notice doing the damn thing once again?
We have our results, and we do have a winner. your winner.
Drum roll. There it is.
We know who won, of course. Mr. Short Notice, Terrence McKinney.
Terrence McKinney has it done. What was the numbers?
Oh, it was a blowout. It was a 10-7. It was very much like how I fight. It was just total dominance. Usually 65. Total dominance. Congratulations, McKinney. Short notice. That's how you do it. Short notice. Just come in there, boom, you do it.
That's because everyone knows Charles is the GOAT, man. They don't like the answer.
There you go.
Remember the name. You got to stop doubting Charles, my man.
So now we have. So Terrence, the winner of the show. You don't get any money here, unfortunately, but you do get 30 seconds to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. You want to talk about MMA? You want to talk about something else? You want to send a positive message to the people? We could do that. And also, I'm gonna incorporate a new rule that when this fight is booked between Islam Makhachev and Charles Oliveira, you get to make the stakes. How about that? But okay, one step at a time.
I just want to say shout out to God and shout out to anyone battling mental health problems. And know that I'm here for you guys and you're not alone. And just most importantly, shout out to God for just keeping me alive every day and keep me motivated, the fans, and shout out to Warrior Camp and shout out to the viewers here today. Thank you guys for your time.
And shout out to you, Terrence, for doing this. And shout out to Ed Kapp for making this thing happen. Jed, shout out to you again. Worthy opponent. Did not come away with the people's vote here. What is your reaction to how this all played out?
You know, people are a bunch of haters come spitting facts. I'm sorry. Like, I know you don't like that Habib's the best, but he's the best. And that's just what's up.
I'm sorry, Jed. You know, I'm just the people's champ, man. Maybe next time.
That's okay.
Mishu McKinney 2 coming to a YouTube channel near you. So get ready.
I'm not confident looking at the stats that I deserve a rematch. Much like, you know, Michael Chandler doesn't deserve a rematch for Charles O'Leary. I was trying to do that. Like, it's not necessary.
Well, there you have it, everybody. We appreciate all of you watching. Go ahead, Terrence. I'm sorry.
I said I'd rather Dustin get the rematch. I think he competed the best against Charles compared to anyone else.
Maybe. Maybe he fights July 30th and earns that shot. But you could hit the music, Casey. There it is. There it is, everybody. That means we are out of here. I will see you guys tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Eastern. Thank you to Casey on the production side, for Jed, for Terrence McKinney. I am Mike Keck. We'll see you back here next week, right here on Between the Links. Good night, everybody.
Yes, sir. Stay blessed, boy.
This has been Between the Links. I'm Esther Lynn. Congratulations, Mr. McKinney. You rule. Jed Mishu, you suck.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Wix Studio. Designers and devs, you might be able to do your thing better on Wix Studio, a web platform with everything you need to deliver bespoke sites hyper-efficiently. Design teams get a ton of smart features that can take the grind out of web creation without it costing per pixel control. Dev teams, you get a zero setup, developer-first environment, combined with an AI code assistant and your preferred IDE for rapid deployment. Search Wix Studio today to explore the full range of features.